We're staying on the topic of education for this State Capitol Report. I'm on a Memorial Day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we've been talking about, Governor Evers and Republican legislative leaders both want to increase funding for student mental health in this year's state budget, but they disagree by how much. Republicans are proposing $20 million more for mental health needs. The governor's plan directs $64 million more toward mental health services and programs. Are you a student or the parent of a student who struggles with mental health? Do you have enough services and training in your school? What do you think about the state's recent push to expand access to services in schools? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Heidi Eliopoulos is superintendent of Chippewa Falls Public School District, and she joins us from our WPR studio in Eau Claire. Heidi, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's start out by talking about the mental health grants that lawmakers could expand through this year's state budget. The grants were established in the last state budget, and your district was awarded $75,000 last year. Can you give us an overview of how that funding has been used in Chippewa Falls?
Yes, absolutely. We were so fortunate to receive the maximum award amount of $75,000. And in Chippewa Falls, we did a few things with that. We really emphasized creating partnerships between those mental health provider experts and networks in the community and the schools where the students are. So one of the things that we created was an interconnected systems framework. So in that framework, we worked very closely with mental health providers who came into our schools. They served on teams. They provided training for our teachers who are working with students. They provided advisory when there was a specific student who was struggling at school with mental health and was able to provide support and recommendations in the school community. So that was a great partnership that really benefited us on a large scale. More specific to ways that we supported families with mental health services is we created a program known as Cardinal Care. It was a student and family assistance program. So every family in our school district received 4 free mental health counseling sessions, or really the sessions could focus on anything. It could focus on parent and child relationships, anything like that. And we had a high level of participation and access this school year alone. As of May 16th, we've had 194 counseling sessions provided just this school year to families. And then the third thing that we did with our grant dollars is we really ramped up the school-based mental health programming that we've been providing since 2014. During the 2014-2015 school year, we started working with one therapist who saw about 20 students over the course of the school year. As of this school year, we've been working with 9 agencies and 23 therapists, and we've been providing school-based mental health services to 144 students this school year.
So, yeah, so lots going on there, but let's break down one of those numbers. You said the grant covered 194 counseling sessions with families. What kind of issues are these people seeking help with, these students?
Absolutely. So there's a wide variety of topics the program can help families with. So it could be anything from academic struggles, discipline issues, household stressors, stress, depression, anxiety, anger management, drugs, alcohol, grief, marital issues, divorce, relationship troubles, eating disorders. However, when we look at our breakdown of presenting problems that the program has supported, the number one presenting problem was anxiety, and the number two presenting problem was depression. Though the area where we actually saw the fewest visit were school-related things like school life balance or anxiousness about academic performance or other school-related issues.
In your area, Heidi, Northwest Wisconsin, we've been hearing a whole lot about the larger issues with methamphetamine and children being removed from their families because of drugs. Have you seen this in your district?
Absolutely. In fact, what we're seeing with the cardinal care access and the anxiety and depression, we would say as well that that's what we're seeing in our schools, is that situational anxiety and situational depression, we are seeing that more prevalent among our youth in our community and in our schools, because there's some pretty tough things going on in children's homes and they're aware of it. And it's impacting their mental health and their social emotional well-being. Specific to meth, we are approaching crisis mode in Chippewa County. In fact, this last week, our county rolled out a Take a Stand Against Meth campaign, because since 2014, we have seen an extraordinary uptick in the use of methamphetamine. In 2014, there were about 80 cases in Chippewa County related to meth. Now we're up well over 200, nearing 298. And that is impacting children and their homes. Homes are less safe for children in these situations. In 2014, there were 12 cases where children were removed from the home specifically because of methamphetamine. And now in 2018, there were 198 children removed from the home for specific methamphetamine cases. And of our home removals, 85% of them are connected to methamphetamine. And of those children, 65% go back to their parents. And so nearly half of these children, once they're removed from their parents' home, they don't return. And even though being removed from the home puts them in a place where they're in a safe and loving environment, that in itself, being taken away from your parents and removed from your home, that's traumatic in itself, as are all the things leading up to that removal, with the domestic violence, the criminal lifestyle they're being exposed to, and the gross neglect when parents are in the grips of methamphetamine. They're not able to care for their children, and the children are being neglected.
We're talking about mental health services in schools with Heidi Eliopoulos. She's superintendent of Chippewa Falls Public School District. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher, a principal, perhaps a school counselor? Do you think your school is doing enough to address children's mental health? Are students able to find help and focus on their education? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Email ideas at WPR.org. Heidi, these drug problems are going on in the community and in students' homes, as you talk about. Can you draw the connection back to mental health and student success in the classroom? How is it related? How is it interconnected?
Absolutely. So when a student has an adverse childhood experience, an ACE as it's commonly called, and I say student, but I mean a youth in general, where they're having this life-changing experience, be it being exposed to domestic violence, being exposed to neglect, emotional abuse, physical abuse, anything that is happening to them while their brain is being developed, that is one of the outcomes that we see, is not only academic struggles in school, struggles with relationships, struggles with behaviors, struggle with their own mental well-being. And so all of those things, when a child is having an adverse childhood experience, which they are more likely and having ongoing if they're in a home where they're exposed to drug use and abuse, that is absolutely going to have a direct impact on their mental health, on their mental well-being, on their success in school, on their ability to have relationships with others, and not only on their cognitive abilities, but all of those other factors, the relationships, the behaviors, all of those also impact their academic success at school.
How is your district, Chippewa Falls, addressing the stigma of mental health, or students who have perhaps trepidation about even seeking help in the first place?
Absolutely. So there's work that we're doing with all students, whether or not they have struggles with mental health or mental well-being. We're really focusing on developing resilience training. So sometimes we, the loving, caring adults in their lives, think that the best way to serve children is by removing obstacles out of their path. But when we do that, we're not setting them up for that realistic life skill they need of coping and working through challenges. So we're working with students to focus on their strengths and working through struggles, not to avoid struggle, because struggle is going to be part of any of our lives, but to take on struggle, work through it, have some resilience, have problem solving, and lean upon our own strengths to get us through those times. And that's something that's happening at the universal level across the board. We start talking to students about their strengths very early on, right away in elementary school, so that students can see when they struggle that they do have strengths and how to go back to those strengths.
So let's look at school staff for a moment. Aside from helping students, has the district brought in community mental health providers for your staff?
Yes, absolutely. We there's several trainings that we're providing. We're providing mental health first aid. We provide trauma-informed care. Additionally, we use a program at the high school called Sources of Strength. So staff and staff coordinators get additional training on how to help students identify and draw upon their strengths when they struggle. That's actually a level of training that we've brought in that has evolved over the last couple of years. 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, when we talked about staff training, we'd have been talking about curriculum, we'd have been talking about assessment and how to develop, would have been talking about instructional strategies. And while we do all of those things, we know that in order to teach the whole child and help students to be successful across the board in school, we also need to be working with their mental well-being and their overall health and wellness. So we have had staff participate in mindfulness training, and again, that trauma-informed care. We have gatekeeper training, like question, persuade, refer, which is a suicide gatekeeper training. We have a variety of levels, some things that we use with all students, and then more narrow training for those who might need a little extra intervention or assistance.
We're talking with Heidi Eliopoulos. She is the superintendent of Chippewa Falls Public School District. You can join in 800-642-1234. Do you think your school is doing enough to address kids' mental health? Let's talk about it. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. On this Monday, Memorial Day, it's the State Capitol Report, and we're looking at mental health services and what funding in the state budget could mean for expanding services in schools. Last year, as we heard, 64 school districts shared about $3 million in state grant funding to provide school-based mental health services. In a given year, one in five students faces a mental health issue, with more than 80% of incidents going untreated. That's according to the CDC. You can join in 800-642-1234. What gaps in children's mental health services do you see in your community, in your district? Is there a shortage of providers or problems with transportation to clinics or a lack of affordable options? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. And Heidi Eliopoulos stays with us. She is superintendent of Chippewa Falls Public School District. Let's go to the phones now with Anthony joining us from Toma. Hi, Anthony. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick thought. With students and youth in general spending majority of their time outside of the school, I almost feel like it's unfair to place such a large burden on our teachers and our educators, almost foist upon them this expectation that, no, the buck stops with you, where, I mean, really, it almost has to be a home care issue. I mean, is it really realistic to expect our teachers to really bear that burden?
Great question, Anthony. How does this parlay with social services, Heidi?
That's a great question. And we get asked that a lot of, well, wait a second, why are the schools providing this service? What we found when we were leaning upon largely factors outside of the school is that we found a few challenges. We found that there was a shortage of providers, and we found that some of the families who needed these services the most were least able to navigate the system on their own. So we had struggles with families making and keeping appointments, taking their children, picking them up at school, having transportation, taking them to those appointments, and then bringing them back afterwards. So they were missing larger periods of time of school. And so that's when we started the school-based mental health services, where we were able to cut out at least the transportation, and we were able to support and assist families with setting up those appointments, finding the provider that was the best match for the child, letting the child come down and go to their appointment right at school, cutting out that need for transportation. The challenge we found there, though, is that there was a gap of uninsured and underinsured families who even that wasn't enough to help them get the services that they needed. About as, even though we were serving 100 students, there were as many that were turned away because they didn't have insurance. And that's where Cardinal Care came in, where we were able to create this subscription program where we subscribed for all of our families and paid for the cost for them to get those four services. And then if they had additional insurance, they could use that above and beyond. But yes, I absolutely see that point that in an ideal world, these things could, should happen outside of school, but we're at the point now where we're asking ourselves, if not us, then who? Because they haven't been happening outside of school on a consistent enough basis to meet all of the needs of the families in our community. So absolutely, I share and understand that sentiment. And we talk about that with our staff as well, because part of this is, too, is secondary trauma for our staff who are feeling the stress and feeling the weight on their hearts of working with these children who are in such challenging situations.
Heidi, Wisconsin has one of our country's higher rates for youth suicide. How often are you seeing those types of cases in Chippewa Falls, and how does the district respond?
Yes, absolutely. So in Chippewa County, the highest frequency of suicide is middle-aged white males. However, any suicide is too many, and certainly any youth suicide is too many. What we've done in Chippewa Falls is a couple years ago, we brought together a wide group of community stakeholders. We brought civic leaders in. We brought business leaders in. We had school personnel, both public and private. We had folks from DHS. We had emergency responders, we had faith leaders, and we came around the table and we did an informal audit of what we offer for support and services. And we found a lot of prevention work. We have actually fairly robust resources for prevention. We realized the gap was postvention. When a community has best practices in place for after a suicide, those postvention strategies, behaviors, responses actually become prevention for additional suicide. So it's about avoiding contagion or clustering or copycat or whichever language you would use. So in Chippewa Falls, we built a community handbook where we walk through the best practices of postvention after a suicide, and have done trainings in our community to say, if we respond according to these best practices after a suicide, then we're able to prevent additional suicides in the future moving forward. And so that resource has been extremely important as we work to support families for this goal that even one suicide is too many.
Well, we know school districts are so data-driven. When you look at the numbers, are you seeing changes in the classroom because more students are getting mental health services? Are they performing better on tests or maybe graduating more often?
That's a great question. So just recently, I compared our Chippewa Falls data to data in our county, data in our CESA region, and data with students, school districts across the state of Wisconsin that are similar to we are, similar size, similar demographics. And it's interesting because I noticed across the board with our standardized assessments, which really is the only tool you have to measure district to district, looking at our standardized assessments and notice that with some of the challenges communities like ours are experiencing, we're seeing student achievement being flat or even decreasing slightly. However, when I look at the Chippewa Falls data compared to those groups, we see a fairly sharp upward trajectory. And even when compared to other school districts with upward trajectories, ours is more swiftly trajecting upward. So can we tie that directly to the mental health supports that we're providing? It's hard to say that's the absolute reason, but it's one of many factors in place that are causing our student achievement. Even though it isn't yet where we want it to be, we're beating the odds with growth because we're growing more quickly and more strongly than other comparable school districts are, and that has to play a role in this.
You shared with us before the interview that Chippewa Falls is applying for another state grant this year, but the district recently got a much larger federal grant for mental health programs. Can you tell us a little bit about how that money will be used ahead?
Yes, we were very excited. And while we did apply for another state grant, we aren't necessarily banking on it because we are so fortunate that we won a federal grant from the Substance Abuse Mental Health Alliance. It's us, La Crosse, and Minocqua. And for us, it'll be $360,000 every year for the next 5 years. And we will be able to do so much good with those dollars. So what we'll be doing is we'll be expanding Cardinal Care. We'll be expanding our school-based mental health. And what we'll also be doing is we're creating a position that we're calling a mental health navigator. And this is a position that their role will to be to work with families to help them navigate through the system, help them understand their insurance, how to use their insurance, help them know what providers are out there and which one is the best match for their child and their child's needs, help them take them to appointments if that's the barrier keeping their child from getting the services they need. So that will be a game changer for families in the Chippewa Falls School District to have this point person that's their job to help families get the services that they need.
Heidi, thank you so much for joining us.
It has been my pleasure.
Heidi Eliopoulos is the superintendent of Chippewa Falls Public School District, and she joined us from WPR's studio in Eau Claire. Just ahead, Jake Patterson, who pleaded guilty earlier this year for kidnapping 13-year-old Jamie Kloss and the intentional homicide of her parents, received his sentence. We'll talk about it. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're moving along on the morning show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.